Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program, you know what to do. 251-343-0106. Coming up on the program about a half hour from now, State Representative Jennifer Fidler joining us here at the Fairhope Bureau in studio. We're back to kind of normal operating procedure here, but she'll be with us. Christina Warner McInnes running for Ag Commissioner. At the top of the 10 o'clock hour, Dale Jackson, for whatever reason, we have him on every week. He'll be with us at the 10 o'clock hour as well. And then we'll close things out in the 11 o'clock hour with the other ag commissioner candidate. You'll get the opportunity to vote for or against or whatever your persuasion is on Tuesday. But Corey Hill will be with us, so make sure that you stay tuned for that. But joining us now, we're going to kick off the show today with one of our two United States senators back on the show. It's been a little bit, but we're always appreciative of her time. Katie Britt joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am, a little bit groggy this morning from being up until 2:30 with the UFC fight. Obviously, my voice is gone a little bit from cheering, but it was the most incredible night. It was so much fun. So I am always glad to be able to come on and talk with you, but especially at such an incredible time, celebrating America 250 and watching the country come together.
It's that Sunday morning after like a football game kind of feeling, huh?
Absolutely. And it's gone into overtime, and you somehow thought that the louder you yelled that was going to actually make a difference on the plays on the field. Absolutely. I felt like my voice was going to help change what happened in the octagon last night.
Well, talk to us a little bit about it. I think obviously delayed because of weather, but then once you got it in, you got it in.
Yeah, that's right. And listen, when we were walking up, I mean, it was just special from the get-go. I thought that we would be, you know, somewhere on the White House lawn, but in my mind, I thought the White House would be far in the distance. I mean, Jeff, you could literally reach out and touch it. We were right there, right on the lawn. It was amazing to watch the flyover. So when the national anthem was played and that incredible flyover, I think everyone there had chills. As you watch them go across the top, you kind of looked around the arena there, and you had men and women from each branch of our military filling the tops of the stands, just to see everyone from obviously the President of the United States on his birthday with his family. You had Ted Cruz. We were sitting by Ted Cruz. We had Anna Paulina Luna right behind us. We had Wesley Hunt. We were all there. You could see all the cabinet secretaries, everyone from, you know, Mark Zuckerberg to just all kinds of people. But the best of it was everyday Americans that were there and celebrating these athletes and celebrating this moment. But just watching the fight, Jeff, I have never been to a UFC fight. It was incredible. I mean, we were cheering, obviously, for the guy from Houston, Texas, for Derek. We were there. I really thought they were going to break his arm in that hold. I thought, okay, all right, this is going south quick. Obviously, he ultimately didn't end up pulling it out. But when you think about the very last fight there with the American beating the guy from Spain, which everyone had that guy favored. But I told Wesley when the guy walked out, I was like, this guy, I mean, you think about it, 250th birthday of the country, the birthday of the President of the United States of America on the White House lawn. I mean, I said, this guy's going to have more heart. And I know everyone says this other guy's going to win, but I promise you this guy's going to keep pushing through. About the second round, Jeff, we thought, oh man, like, you know, this, they've got him. Like, this is not looking good. He made it through that. And then like round three, round four was just total obliteration. Like, it was just madness. It was amazing. The energy in there was pretty great, and it was really fun to watch.
Yeah, and so you know, and I think that like a big part of it too last night, that they really went out of their way to make the connection between you know, really highlight, I guess, military service, right?
Absolutely. Like, there were military men and women everywhere. And they, you know, they made sure. And Justin, obviously, when he won, he said, you know, I dedicate this to all of you, you know, men and women in uniform. He obviously thanked his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he talked about the military, talked about the country and how important this was. But it was absolutely, you know, hats off salute to our men and women in uniform. And you think about all the incredible things that our military has accomplished over the last several months with President Trump at the helm. I mean, they are clearly the most fierce fighting force in the world. And to be able to elevate them was really just, it made the night even more special. And for those people who said, look, we shouldn't have these types of athletes or these types of games elevated because everyday Americans enjoy this. I think those people need a dose of reality. I think Freddie, who obviously started in the gentleman from Germany who started there his journey in Georgia and then really made his mark in Auburn, talking about our sports and our athletics. And, you know, he was just blown away there. And now he's become a phenomenon as he moved through Alabama and through Fairhope and then Louisiana and now Texas. I think that plus last night, all of these things are a great reminder of how special our nation is. We live in the greatest country on the planet. We have these freedoms because of those men and women in uniform who are willing to sacrifice it all, Jeff, and to see a president continue to elevate our troops, continue to appreciate our troops, making sure that our nation understands all that they do for us. I think it is wonderful, and it was an epic night, and I was really, really excited to get to be a part of it.
We got Katie Britt. She's one of our two United States senators here on the line. I guess while I got you, we'll do the obligatory political stuff. Saw you on Maria Bartiromo's show yesterday. I guess first off, Iran peace deal. Do you feel good about the direction this is going to get something kind of put this aside, I guess, or at least calm tensions?
Yeah, so I was able to had lunch with JD last week, and you know, we kind of talked through what was in front of us, and I am really excited to see the progress that was made over the weekend and the president's announcement. Obviously, if the framework holds that has been presented to us, I mean, that will be incredible. We will wait, obviously, until the details kind of fully come out, because everyone knows you can't trust Iran. You have to make sure that you continue to hold them accountable. It's don't trust, but verify. So we'll continue to wait to kind of sort of see all of that play out. But if the framework that was presented holds, that is a great day, not only for our country, but it's a great day truly for all individuals across our great globe, because the president said at first, you know, look, we need peace. We need stability. You've heard Vice President Vance say, you know, there has been chaos in this region for longer than I've been alive. I share that sentiment with him. This was 47 years too late. President Trump obviously engaging in the way that he has to put the nuclear ambitions of Iran, not just to the side, but to get rid of them, to be able to reopen the straits, to do that in a way that they have to actually achieve these things before we unfreeze assets. If that holds, Jeff, that is an incredible day, and it wouldn't have happened without President Trump's leadership. So we'll see how that does this week. I know that we certainly want to see gas prices come down. We want to see energy prices come down. We know that this is a critical component to that. You add that to President Trump's robust energy agenda of making, of course, Alabama, but America, not just energy independent, but energy dominant. And we know in Alabama, we play a large role in that, given the diversity of our energy sector in the state. But, you know, reframing this, I hope that next thing that we do on that front would be permitting reform. Jeff, I think that would be huge as we continue that momentum. But this is a big, big, big first step, and I look forward to watching the details unfold this week.
And the other thing I was going to ask you about while I got you, the you mentioned the possibility of taking another shot at reconciliation, a third reconciliation vote before the August recess. You sounded somewhat optimistic. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So Jeff, look, I mean, you think about what we just talked about with regards to, you know, what's happening in the Middle East and potential progress. You look at the crude oil prices coming down. I mean, this is something that both Democrats and Republicans should celebrate, but they're not. And I'll say that's kind of what is front and center for me with regards to a possible reconciliation bill, and that is consistent obstruction from Democrats. They have absolutely lost their way. They hate President Trump so much that they are unwilling to do the basic functions of government in front of them. They are unwilling to govern. They continue to take their ball and go sit in the corner. They don't want to do anything that advances an agenda that they feel like could be remotely tied to the president. Well, I have a newsflash for them. The president was voted overwhelmingly by the American people, and this agenda it was front and center in before us with regards to what we're doing here, securing our border, making our streets safer. We unfortunately had to do that by ourselves in Reconciliation 2.0 because the Democratic leadership once again refused to listen to the American people. I'm afraid that's what they're doing here. So this is something to watch, Jeff. When you look at the appropriations process, it looks like Democrats are trying to set us up for yet another government shutdown. So Senator Schumer wants to shut the government down for a third Schumer shutdown in the last year instead of working together to figure out a pathway forward for the American people. And if that's the case, then we're going to do what it takes to make sure that the greatest military on the planet is funded. We're going to make sure that government is able to function. So we have several tools in our toolbox, and I am eager to use any and all of them to achieve for the American people. We are not going to let the Democratic Party continue to obstruct and the American people pay the price. We know what is in front of us. We want safe streets. We want a secure border. We want to make sure that that this country and the American dream continues to be in reach for everyday Americans. And so that's what we're focused on. They're focused on playing politics. They're not focused on the people. So if that means a reconciliation 3.0, if they refused to play ball in the appropriations process, which, you know, I would much rather prefer the appropriations process move forward in the way that it was intended. You know, we'll be ready to act, and we'll be ready to work to build the coalition to achieve that.
Yeah. So essentially, by kind of isolating some of these, you know, core components of the federal government and doing them through reconciliation, you take a lot of the potential things that Democrats could hold hostage off the table. This is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, and right now they're saying they won't even vote for bills coming out of committee. I mean, Jeff, that's ridiculous. You know, you work through, you get a bipartisan product, and then you vote those out, and there are larger fights that you have on the floor. That's how you do this. But they want to make every single thing political. They want to use every single thing as a wedge. And if that's the way they want to do it, they're going to ultimately lose their power, because we're going to work and find a pathway to produce for the American people. So, yes, I would like the appropriations process to work first. We will probably see a test vote on this somehow through a supplemental. We heard about what the military needs and what President Trump needs to continue to put us in this position of strength that we've been in the last several months. I mean, you think about this, for instance. You think about what happened with Tren de Aragua this weekend, and, you know, their leader no longer being a threat to American citizens when it comes to, you know, fentanyl poisoning and the continued traffic of this, you know, this crime organization within our shores. You know, President Trump, that happened through a partnership with Venezuela. We would have never had that kind of partnership several months ago without the action that President Trump took. So, I mean, there are real consequences for these things, and they're to the benefit of the safety and security and prosperity of the American people. I mean, you think about what we're hearing now about Venezuela allowing American companies companies to do business there, and the thought about those things unfolding and actually coming to fruition. And you're looking at what's happening with Iran. I mean, you look at what's happening all across the globe as a result of American strength and leadership. And I think we've got to make sure that that is not thwarted. We've got to make sure that we're doing what we need to for the American people. So whether it is going through a reconciliation 3.0 or calling these Democrats out for wanting to shut the government down, they actually want it shut down. So we have the Shutdown Fairness Act. We have the Prevent Government Shutdown Act. So one is Ron Johnson's, one is James Langford's. Both have some good merits. Maybe we can find a combination of the two to make sure that they can't hold the American people hostage again, that they cannot once again, hold the government hostage again, all for the sake of politics. We're not going to play that. We're going to call them out, and we're going to find a pathway forward, whatever it may be.
Senator, you've been very generous with your time this morning. Thanks for hopping on and giving us your update from last night, but on some other important things as well.
You got it. Hey, and it was awesome to see an American win that very last round there on the White House grounds, and just what he said about our country and what he was able to say about continuing to elevate our men and women in uniform and the sacrifice and service that they have. So thank you so much, and I look forward to coming back on soon.
Senator Katie Brittley, gentlemen. Thanks again, Senator. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. It's election, or I guess it's a runoff eve. Would be more appropriate to call it that. But it's runoff eve, and we got good elections tomorrow. How you feeling? Are you feeling like you need, are feeling the burning sensation to get out and vote tomorrow? Because probably not as many of you as there are that are feeling it. But anyway, Jennifer Fiddler up in the next segment, so make sure you stick around for that. Just a few things. We mentioned it. Senator Britt just on with us. We talked Iran peace deal. We got another Iran peace deal. We'll see if it holds. The markets are buying it. Are you buying it? It does feel a little different this time. We'll see. I think a lot has to do with the Israelis and how they handle it. Oil trading at $79.80 a barrel here. So certainly down within that $90 ceiling is kind of where, you know, the absolute highest tolerable point. But it's continuing to kind of slink down a little bit. $80 below $80 is certainly good news. We get it down to 70, then we're really in good shape with gas prices. They will come down just in time. I mean, like the summer travel months, but the markets are buying it. Markets feel good about where they're at. And you know how I could tell this is something that's serious is the Chiron on the TV that is tracking the gas prices on CNN has gone away. Let's see what else. I just very tedious, like back and forth between different candidates over the weekend. Jared Hudson and Barry Moore. And the same with the lieutenant gubernatorial candidates. We got past the raccoon ad. I know. Still, it just feels like everything you try to throw out right now, it's baked in. It's too late for even like what would be what we would call this runoff version of an October surprise. It's just the news cycle just isn't moving that fast. Also yesterday, very important, Tommy Tuberville deemed to be eligible to run for governor on the Republican ballot. It was a unanimous decision by the ALGOP steering committee. Kim McFeeder's effort was... it lost. But Tommy Tuberville will be the Republican nominee for governor in November, whether anybody likes it or not. Once again, text line 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. We shall return. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
He said, you don't have to call me Mr. Mister. The whole world called me Hank. He said, Drifter, can you make folks cry when you play and sing?
Looking like that you in Jackson, and I'll be dancing on a pony keg. They'll lead you around town like the scalded hound with your tail tucked between your legs. Yeah, go to Jackson, you big talking man, and I'll be waiting in Jackson behind my
chain. Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. You know how to get in touch with the program. Still to come on the program, Christina Warner McGinnis, running for Ag Commissioner, Dell Jackson from WVNN Yellhammer News, and then Corey Hill, who's also running for Ag Commissioner. So get to hear from both the Ag candidates this morning on the program, and looking forward to that discussion. Joining us now, sitting in here at the Fairhope, new and improved Fairhope Bureau, State Representative Jennifer Fiddler is with us. Representative, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming on. So what you been up to the last few weeks?
We've been busy. Busy. I went to the, I finished my town halls a couple weeks ago, digested those, got the questions in, got our answers out to all our constituents. If you come to those, we're able to get those things. If I don't know the answers right off the top of my head, I am going to follow up and get them back out to you. We did that. I attended the National Association of Christian Lawmakers there in Lynchburg, Virginia, a week and a half ago. And they work on model policy,
right,
that states can adopt if they so choose. And they have a leader, a chairman from every state across the 50 states that are a member. And they just started, you know, through this whole COVID 2020, 2021, that era. When they realized, and this was Senator Jason Raper, realized there wasn't a group that was out there that just could hold together on Christian values, that looked at model policy that's good for our states and good for the nation. So that he has a book out actually called Save the Nation. But anyway, attended that. And of course, you know, with all the runoffs, we've been busy attending things and listening to, you know, all our candidates, and a shout out to them because, wow, some of this has gotten kind of, well, has gotten dirty. And yeah, you guys out there that are trying to decipher through this, the voters, don't despair. Just do your due diligence with studying and feeling like, just figure out who you are most comfortable with. I know you've got you're tired of it. I mean, I've heard
just
from
the
you.
Perpetual elections, right? It's after this, we're in congressional election mode, which may not be as tedious or anxiety driven and fueled, but I mean, it does feel like we're always going out to vote for something here lately.
Well, and then, you know, I think the voters too are like, really, do we have to put up with all the negative ads
and all the mail, right,
and the texts? And I think I've already heard from people and they're like, this is why people don't want to vote. It's just too much. And then you get confused on, okay, am I voting the right way? But just do your due diligence. We have got great candidates that are running. And thank you guys for running and putting yourself out there. My gosh, you know, wow. They've stood up and stepped out. And
well, I'll tell you, it's something, Representative, that it was a kind of a subdued primary cycle. And I mean, the primary goes on forever and ever and ever. It really got, I mean, I know the AG candidates very early were, you know, kind of at each other, but like this primary runoff cycle, this 30 days has really ratcheted up.
Well, are you talking about the timeline?
Well, no, it's just the mudslinging, if you will, has gotten more intense and more personal, more ad hominem.
Yeah, and I think we as the body, the legislative body, have to look at, I mean, how much of this untruths and, you know, think, because it's when the voters trying to vote and trying to make a good decision for their state and their district, and there's this falsehoods out there, we really need to make sure that there's accurate information.
Well, I tell you, like, as from my perch at 1819 News, just the incredibly, I don't know what the salacious, outrageous pitches I get from both all these candidates' campaigns, trying to like, you know, connect on a last minute Hail Mary pass or something, and it's just like, no, you know, that's, and it's because all they got to do. You're just looking to get to Tuesday, and like we can't play with house money on some of the stuff. But it, I mean, the stuff that doesn't make it out there is just really ridiculous.
Really,
you have no idea. I had to be like, are you serious? Why are you bothering me on the weekend with this? Don't do that. That's not how you're going to win or lose this election. All right. Mm. I mean, I've seen this. You know, I've been in this game a long time. These consultants, what they're doing is just not new, guys. But that, I mean, if you just knew half the stuff, did you have to say no to?
Yeah, I guess I probably don't know. I have, you know, a lot of us do have consultants, and some of us have just a few or not a whole lot or, you know, very little. And some don't have any at all.
Right.
So there's a wide variety out there, and I think that's important to know, too, you know, that.
The other thing we're going to have a real serious discussion about Wednesday is the polling. The polling's everywhere. The polling is, they're taking, it's like we have bad public policy polling in the state. It's a hard state to poll. I mean, it just is. Now, one cycle you may have a runoff or a county commission race or a sheriff race or a state house race. And then the next, there's not much going on down ballot, and that will, you know, that could drive or suppress turnout. And there's no, like, good science to understand, all right, people in the Wiregrass are going to turn out a little higher than they did 4 years ago, or people in the Shoals. I mean, it's very dynamic. But what's happened is these, I guess, consultants, they can conduct their own polls, or they hire a pollster from out of state that doesn't really get it. They just look at the model from 4 years ago. And it really distorts the reality of what the race is. So they will tell you, well, this candidate's up by 10 points. And then come election day, it's a 20-point swing. Well, what happened? Well, you know, you just had a bad poll, or you were using the polling to message and make your candidate look stronger, trying to generate some momentum. So I think that's a real thing that's got, we got to do, you know, as the media here, not necessarily the government, we got to do a better job at policing.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, you've seen it. Like, well, this pulse is Barry Moore's up by 10. Well, this pulse is Jared Hudson's up by 7. I mean, like, that's 17-point range. That's one of those is way, way, way off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, the polls, it's the questions. And there's a lot of fatigue out there with that, too. People don't. And if the people that aren't answering the polls are definitely the thought process is over here, mm-hmm. and they're just not going to answer those polls. But, you know, those people with that thought process are going to support this candidate. Right. So you do have, I would think you have a lot of that.
Yeah, well, you have some underpolling where, and this is the Barry Moore story, ever since he ran for Congress in 2020, he always underpolls, always.
There you go with that thought. Who you know, they're just not going to take those polls.
Yeah, they're going to vote for this guy, but they're like, I'm not responding to this. They're probably going to try to take whatever I tell them and distort it or something.
Exactly.
Just a distrust, like, no. Right?
Yes, there's a distrust, and those are in that process. That person going to follow this person because that's who they trust. They feel most comfortable with them. So, yeah, I see that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got that, and like you said, this was more of the phenomenon during the primary, but the outside group, the American Conservative Fund, and just the inundation with direct mail, that was one thing. And I don't think that made a difference in many races. it may have raised some name ID, but like the way it's kind of done and there's no brakes on it. It is just done. I mean, this is something the speaker talked about that maybe you can't tell them, no, we have freedom of speech in America, but you can make them be a little more transparent with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that makes sense. There were so many that came out from American Conservative Fund. And you guys that are out there, I mean, you do have to look like who paid for it. What is it coming out of the campaign? Is it coming out of the American Conservative Fund?
And that's a little disclaimer. And if you know what you're looking for, you could figure it out. But like the average person
doesn't. They just toss that in the garbage.
Well, they see, they see a senator or a state house member on there, and they don't do that. They don't take that discerning look. And it just looks like that member is just flooding their mailbox because mm-hmm. that's who they're going to blame.
Yeah, that's right. But that American Conservative Fund, like on some of mine, it was way more than probably 2/3 of the mailers I received from one of the candidates were from that group. So it's...
Yeah, we were at one point getting like 4 or 5 a week from them. That's, I mean, you know, like I said, you can't tell them no, but you can make it a little more obvious that this is not endorsed by a candidate or a candidate committee, that this is the product of some third party group.
Yeah, then that's, I think, how we do that is, you know, this figure it
you
out.
You just got to file them. like with the Secretary of State's office. I mean, there are things that they could do that don't violate free speech. But that's, I think, is coming because this was just one of the more ridiculous election cycles in recent memory. And then here's the thing, Representative. Turnout was, I mean, at least among Republican voters where all this money was being spent, was down. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like it was boosting turnout. Democrats are way up because of Louisiana. Republicans, I mean, there's a lot of different things going on there, but it's not like this had this like really resounding impact on the election.
I think it too, our moderate Republicans, a lot of people didn't really understand the districting thing. So if they were listening to whoever the way it was being spun,
right.
They're kind of like, because I had several people that are moderate Republicans come to me during town halls or throughout the process and sit down with me and just did not agree with what was going on after I described, you know, we all the things they said, you know, I do agree with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, constitutionally we're held to a different standard in Alabama than other states. And you guys, if you don't at some point, if you didn't do 6-1 and you don't do 7-0, I mean, the voters are going to come start banging on your door and they're going to want to know like, well, why hasn't the legislature reacted to this?
And I think some of that, just hearing 6-1 and 7-0, that's what makes it sound like something's unfair because it's all about Republicans and Democrats. But really, it's about when we look at that federal definition and we read it, we understand that Baldwin and Mobile need to be together because we're a community of interest. And we should have had half of Monroe. We should have had half of Washington and Clark and Escambia. But we're over there taking in Covington.
Right.
But that's how we originally had it was probably the best way. But we were challenged on that. And I think when people from here, like, listen to that and they understand that if we just don't look at the color of your skin, then yes, that makes the most sense. We're supposed to be together. Baldwin and Mobile are supposed to be together.
Right.
And Pat, you know, thank you, the Attorney General's office, for putting it out there and fighting for us because they did.
Well, it's just like splitting Mobile, the city of Mobile up and saying that this racial demographic, you put that at the top of the list over everything else, economic interest, culture interest, or whatever, that is, you elevate that as the most important thing. I think that's where it gets sideways with the Constitution.
It gets sideways when you say a community of interest is because it's the color of your skin.
Right.
And we vote for the same mayor.
Yeah.
We vote for, you know, these same people.
You celebrate Mardi Gras together. You go to the same churches. You know, it's like there's a community of interest there. That's clear. That Mobile, the city of Mobile, has many common interests. And you can't put one, which is just race, above all the rest.
That's right. And we go to each other's weddings, funerals, social events, all the things.
Yes.
It's just, you know, regardless of what color you are.
And that's where the lower court got it wrong, and they fought it till the bitter, bitter end, but they got smacked down. And they just didn't follow the instructions of the Louisiana Calais case.
Yeah. I think just a big part of that, they don't understand our culture either. You know, they're not from around here.
Well, and it's like this, like, there's this virtue in social engineering or something that they, I don't know where it comes from, and I don't know how it gets in to the lower federal courts the way it did, but it did. And that's what we had to deal with for 2 years, and I guess finally we're kind of unshackled from that.
Yeah, and thankfully so. There was a spin on that, and I think the people that I heard mostly from were people that remembered, you know, that were maybe 10 years older than me or maybe 20 years older than me, but they remember the times when it was difficult for our African-American folks out there, and they remember that
we're being held accountable for something that happened before you and I were born.
Yeah.
And that's very un-American. Let's get a break in here. We got State Representative Jennifer Fidler here with us for one more segment. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking with us on this Monday morning. Still to come, next segment we'll hear from Christina McGinnis. Then later in the hour we'll hear from Dale Jackson. In the 11 o'clock hour, Corey Hill. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Still with us here for just a few more minutes, my state representative, Jennifer Fidler, here. I get this question a lot on the text line, and it's sort of tightening up the requirements for dealing with home titles and real estate, but it sounds like that at least you got something there to kind of shore up that system.
Yeah, there. Just so y'all know, okay, in Fairhope about 2 years ago, and this is not uncommon, but we had a gentleman that he lives up there in a veterans home in Georgia, but he thought he lost his land outright. Someone went and put the property in their name. They filed got the deed. They got a notary public to say they were this person. They owned the land. They filed the deed there in our Baldwin County courthouse. We did have a bill that passed this year that increases the penalties for something like that. And we, just so you'll know, you can make sure you sign up for a title change notification. You guys all need to do that. You can receive a notification whenever a document, such as a deed or lien, is recording involving their property or name, and it's part of that Baldwin County's Property Alert Service, and it's through the county's online land records portal that you can do that. So make sure you do that. But that bill, that law does strengthen that. So maybe we don't have that happen, but we need to probably strengthen it a little bit more on that. But we worked really hard on that for the last couple of years. There were several things that came up in our town hall meeting. You know, we talked about mud dumping. We talked about people wanting to buy the over-counter ivermectin. Which I co-sponsored. It did not go far, but people did ask about that in the town hall meeting. They asked about the status of the rotisserie chicken bill, which that made it out of the House but did not make it through the Senate. And that was just allow SNAP to cover chicken, cooked chicken in the grocery stores, so that because of some of the candies and soda pops, but you know that we pulled some of the soda pop definitions out of that SNAP definition, and you cannot buy those with your SNAP benefits any longer. There is so much.
Well, back to the mud dumping bill. That is it. It's early, but does that seem to be having its intended impacts?
Well, I mean, all we did was change the definition, you know, of beneficial use. So now you can do 30% of that instead of 70% of everything that is the sediment that basically silts down to the bottom of the channel. They're going to remove that and put it in some way, put it back on land or some other kind of beneficial use instead of doing a thin layer placement or mud dumping. I can't get
to sleep. All right. Well, thanks for coming by. Welcome back to the Fairhope Bureau here.
Thank you, Jay. Hey, this great looking studio you got here. Congratulations.
Thank you. State Representative Jennifer Fiddler will be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Somebody take me home.